Welcome to Integrated OKC. I'm your host, Wesley Lester, and today I'm talking with a whole mad scientist of photography. Man, I don't even know. Me and my boy Clarence will go back way back. So, man, tell us about who you are.
My name is Clarence Long III, three of us.
The third,
yes, sir. I am a fine art macro photographer here in Oklahoma City.
You have anything else you want to add to your list of things, or you just want to stay focused on macro? I heard you write too. You said something about that.
Creative writer. I used to be a writing tutor at OCCC.
Oh, wow. Okay, there you go.
Professional writing as well. Used to be a grant writer for a nonprofit here in the city.
Mm.
Graduated with a degree in political science at UCO, bachelor's. Okay.
That explains the thought process, the deepness of thought behind the photographer.
Planning on attending law school in the future as well. Hopefully become like an intellectual property attorney as well, or international law. So I have a lot of different things in my head that I want to aspire to be. So
that'd be amazing, man. Yeah. Like, hey, this is your opportunity. This is your episode. So you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the perfect opportunity to throw all of those visions out there, you're doing currently and what you hope to do in the future.
Yeah.
So you do macro photography. So for people who don't know what macro photography is, what is it?
In a nutshell, macro photography, you make small things look really big. So that could be anything from like insects, flowers, hair follicles, irises on someone else's eye. I mean, it could be anything and everything.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. So like, what's like your favorite small thing that you've made large with macro photography? Just out of curiosity.
I like bees.
Bees?
Bees, yeah. They're really cute.
Why bees?
This is so cute and fuzzy and like, saved bees. They're really cool. I like flowers. I mean, flowers have been my first love. I'm a flower boy at heart. I love nature.
Yeah, love it.
Leaves, veins and leaves, water droplets, all of that. So,
yeah. What was like the first thing that got you into macro photography?
It was actually my dad.
Really?
So my dad and I, he got me into photography, I'd say around 10 years ago when I was around 14, 15, just turned 25 on the 5th. So, birthday.
Congratulations. Happy birthday. Man, we got a lot of things going on.
Yeah,
right,
a lot of things happening. It's been an amazing week. So he originally taught me photography when I was around, I'll say, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he got me really much interested in just nature photography, taught me the ropes. And 10 years later, now I have a business doing that. We're both co-owners in Clarence Long Photography. So, very excited about that.
Wow. Okay, so what... How has photography kind of changed the way you do business? I mean, you do have a 9-to-5, so you're not like full freelance, but how do you kind of view that? A lot of artists are viewing their art as like a business, and then versus their passion. So how do you kind of cut that pie up proportionately?
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion, it is a business, but it's not a hobby. There's a difference. There's a bit of nuance in those three terms, right? Because you can have a passion and have a business. But it's very difficult to call a hobby a business, an LLC, right? It's kind of because a hobby is like easy to do it whenever. Typically, you don't really get paid to do that. But passion is like, hey, this is my passion plus a business. And for me, I'm not afraid as an artist to say, like, yes, I want to make money off my art. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's not the primary. Well, it is a primary focus, but it's not the first foremost. So, yeah, sure, I want to have fun. I want to share my artwork with the world. Have that emotional impact, the positive impact, but I still want to pay the bills and more.
Right.
I still have a lot of dreams and aspirations I want to achieve with that.
Absolutely.
So I'm not ashamed to say, yes, I want to make money off my art and no one else should, because we can't just live off free photo shoots for the rest of our lives and family discounts, right? We can't be doing that.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. That's one of the missions I have of this podcast is to teach artists as well as teach businesses.
Mm.
The artists are probably going to watch this, but a lot of business owners, I hope, are going to get tapped into this as well and kind of hear the perspective. And so, a lot of artists are wondering, like, how do I legitimize myself as an artist?
Mm.
What would you say to an artist like that?
Wow.
It's a tough question. You don't have to have all the answers.
my intuition is saying, like, just own it. Own it.
Just own it?
Just own it. Like, if I were to try and give a more specific answer, like, if you truly do believe that you have a skill set that you can market and monetize off of, there's no shame in doing that.
Right.
No shame in doing that. I mean, if you feel as if that you could be an amazing cook, you could start off with making plates for the fam, making plates for the friends, put on social media and do
that.
which could ultimately turn into a restaurant or restaurants in a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. Similar to when it comes to art and photography. I mean, start off small, that way you have that business-minded plan, you know, once you begin to really build up your portfolio and your skill set, you can definitely begin to, you know, build an LLC, you know, get your tax write-off, so Uncle Sam, and get the government checks and everything like that. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, but to legitimize yourself, really, I mean, get experience, have fun, and just try to really build up on your skills.
Right. Yeah. I mean, great answer. You've recently seen some success. You know, I've seen you on, like, Oklahoma City Zoo had a gala, right? Yeah. Correct? Like, tell me a little bit about that experience, like, kind of how they found you and, like, you know, what well, that was like being, get that recognition.
It initially started, I'll say, around the middle of 2024. And I sent a cold email to the zoo. And this is where, you know, the value really comes in. Because I've learned that cold emailing and cold calling can be very dicey, a bit scary. But I'm willing to take that risk because all they could do is say no.
Absolutely.
And I hit up the zoo and I was like, hey, my mission aligns with your mission. I can provide a lot of value to the zoo with my artistry. Let's try to talk something out. Are there any opportunities for me to showcase my artwork at the zoo in a partnership type of thing? And the Oklahoma Zoological Society reached out to me through email, one of the directors for it. She was like, oh, your portfolio is absolutely phenomenal. Let's try to get you into the Zubru, which is one of their fundraisers they do around September of every year. And I had a really beautiful piece of a 24 by 36 inch glossy metal piece of a giant bee. And there was about 10 bids on that.
Wow, that's huge.
Exceptionally well. They loved it. They're like, okay, please come back. Like, all right, cool, I got you. And around January 2025, I reached back out to them like, hey, I know we mentioned about doing the zoo gala or gala, I forgot how you pronounce it, but the zoo gala in June, which is actually yesterday, June 6th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So it's been about 6 months in the making. And she was like, yes, come back. And the cool thing about this opportunity was, like, the directors of the gala, she was like, hey, what about you take some photos of our ambassador animals? I was like, okay, which ones? Like, well, we have pythons, we have lizards, we have skinks, we have spiders, we have birds. I'm like, okay, pick whatever you want to do.
Wow, that's amazing. It's like getting your own palette as a photographer. Like, hey, choose from the entirety of the Oklahoma City Zoo. What?
Basically, right. Like,
I would have chose the lions. I ain't going to lie. I would have been like, let me get up close to them, baby.
I know.
Y'all got some cubs.
That's really cool. But she was like, I love your macro work, so I want to stick with that. And that's your specialty. Like, okay, perfect. Let's do it. So back in late April of this year, they gave me exclusive access. It was actually, I think, the first time they've ever done this with a photographer, especially with this type of photography.
Wow, that's huge.
Where they allowed me to choose whatever animal I wanted. They had handlers and carriers actually, like, coming out with python, snake after snake, lizard after lizard. Okay, I don't like that texture, but I like this texture. This one had an attitude. Let's get one that's a bit more calm. So I was like, okay, so which one is best? So I chose a blue-tongued skink, which is like a lizard, and I chose a ball python, and they just handled it in their hands. I was just shooting away, shooting photos, flash and everything. They are very positive, very friendly. They were just snuggled up against me. It got kind of cool.
Wow.
Actually, like, petted the pythons. It was, they were very friendly. It was cool.
Friendly pythons.
Very friendly, you know.
I've seen people walk around with pythons, like, in the street, you know, and stuff. You know, they seem friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing experience. That was back in April. And then flash forward, well, back to yesterday, last night, the gala happened. Phenomenal experience. The bidding went exceptionally well. They bought it. It was a trio of three prints. They loved it, and they want me to come back for the next gala for next year. So
that's amazing. So I'm kind of curious, as an artist who comes in, and, you know, not very many artists, there's only maybe a handful that I know that have produced and shown artwork for a gala. What does that partnership look like? Are you donating your artwork completely and totally? Is there any kickback for you as an artist? Or are you just writing that all off completely on your taxes as a write off? Like, what's how does that work out?
So it is a donation to the zoo. I get nothing financially in return as a direct thing from that print, right? And it is a tax write-off. So hopefully Uncle Sam will bless me next year with a little sum of something back. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it is like a nonprofit type of thing. So you could put that on your taxes, which is awesome. I highly recommend for artists to do that. I'm not an expert on it. I'm learning myself. But it's been really cool.
From what I've heard, any donations that you make, you can write off for the cost of the artwork and yeah. your costs and everything like that.
So, and the value. You know. And you set the value.
Which is amazing.
So you can set the value. So let's just say if, like, the prints were $400 or $1,600 or $2,000, you set the value because that's the value of it. So you can set whatever price.
It's your product. It's your product. Do what you want to do with it.
Yeah. Now, I don't think it's necessarily the cost of goods. Now, it could be that, but they actually wrote down the value of the prints I could put down onto my tax forms.
Good.
It's pretty cool. But
and that's regardless of whatever they bid for and whatever yes. they actually go for, like the tax write-off ends yeah. up being what you donated.
Yeah. So it was a really cool experience. I mean, I met a lot of different people. I met entrepreneurs, politicians, business owners, potential millionaires that I didn't even know because there were a lot of money in that room, just shaking hands, passing business cards. Yeah, and it was actually a really amazing experience because they're wanting to connect me with a few people who have connections to National Geographic as well.
Let's go.
So I'm really excited about that. Like,
I'd love to see Clarence Long in it.
Yeah. I know. That's an ultimate dream of mine, at least one of them. And they're like, hey, we know a few people who do some conservation efforts in Sri Lanka for elephants.
Wow.
So they're like, here's his number. Reach out. Test your luck and see how that'll work. They also partner with a few photographers who are actually partnering with Nat Geo as well. I'm like, okay, let's see where this can lead. I'm not too sure, but let's find out.
And it all started with a cold email.
Yeah, it's cold email.
Wow. Yeah. So, you yeah. know, let that be the case. And I've actually like driven into like drive-thrus and
right.
had the GM taking my order. And then I was like, hey, would you guys like this? And it's, you know, led down some conversations. Like,
yeah.
you know, there's really interesting ways that cold calling, cold approaching, cold email, like, yes, it can be dicey, but it can also lead you to a lot of different arenas, you know.
And another thing is that I also had an exhibition at the Murat Gardens last September as well.
Oh, wow.
It was a trio show. It was the first ever macro photography show ever exhibited at the Murat Gardens.
And wow, huge.
I was the reason why they did it. And we even had two of my peers. There's a macro photographer out of Oklahoma City and also in Tulsa who were also part of the show as a trio show.
Was it Joe?
No, it was a good friend of mine. I forgot the woman's name, but she's a phenomenal photographer. But it was a good friend of mine named Skeeter Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
He specializes in, like, of course, the nature photography, but also, like, jumping spiders.
Oh, wow.
He does phenomenal cool. jumping spider photography. I love his work. We speak pretty often. But, yeah, I mean, that was a cold email as well. I was like, hey, your mission is also my mission. I believe I could bring a lot of value to the Murat Gardens, and I believe that this would be an excellent, you know, marketing type of thing for the both of us. Let's do it. They're like, okay. Took about 10 months of planning, contracts, budgeting, planning, trying to find other artists, all of that. So it went from, I think, November of 2023 to September of 2024. Of constant communication, trying to make sure everything is laid out appropriately. And I had 1 out of 5 sell, which doesn't seem like a lot. But for the amount it was sold at, I'm like, very happy about that.
Absolutely.
And like, I was so happy about it. And yeah, I mean, like, you got to take all those risks. And closed mouths do not get fed.
Absolutely. Closed mouths do not get fed. You got to reach out and you have to say something to people or else they're not going to, you know, the squeaky wheel gets oil, as they say.
Yeah.
So you've been doing art, you've been doing photography for about 10 years and your dad got you into it and, you know, you're seeing some success now. Like what has that done for your motivation? You know, what, like going from here now forward, has it changed how you perceive your own artwork or have you perceived the change, the impact of what your artwork can have? Like, what has it done?
Well, I still have the same vision, but my conviction is even more strong.
Mm.
Right. Like, my vision is still the same as it was when I was a teenager. But now I'm like, I can absolutely do this. I have a lot more of a stronger conviction, a lot more confidence. And I believe that, especially with the guidance from my dad and other peers and research, and just looking online to find motivation and just doing all these different things to just make sure that my business plan and my vision is in line with my values and what I actually want to achieve, I'm like, oh, this is absolutely achievable. Everything that I want to achieve in life with my business and my passion in the arts, I can absolutely do. So in terms of the amount of success that I've achieved in a very short span of time, I mean, I've only been in business for 2 years and 2 months. So April Fool's Day of 2023, that was the launch day. I'm like, hey, y'all.
That's when you got, you did your LLC with the Secretary of Oklahoma, the Secretary of State?
Yeah, that was on March 15th, 2023. But the launch of the website and everything was on April Fool's Day.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, you're like, hilarious. Just kidding, not kidding. Kidding about releasing this. We're doing this thing.
Right, right. And my very first exhibition was at DNA Galleries back in August of 2023. Mm-hmm. It was just small paper prints for $25. 10 out of 10 sold in the first night. I was the only artist out of 30 who sold all 10.
Wow.
And I was the only artist out of 30 who sold more than 3. But I'm like, oh, okay.
Maybe I should do this.
Maybe I should do this.
Maybe I should keep this up.
Right, right, right. And ever since then, including the two exhibitions, especially the one on Tuesday that we can discuss, that's massive.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear about it.
Yes. Well, we can talk about it like, immediately after this, but I've showcased my work in at least 14 or 15 different showcases in less than 2 years.
Wow. That's huge, man. Yeah. It's not easy. You know, I imagine it's a little bit different with photography than, you know, cause I'm a painter traditional, you know? So like maybe making one piece might take longer. You know, and like with a photograph, you know, with the camera, you can take as many shots as you need within a 15-second span if you've got that that quick shutter on.
Yeah.
And then, but you still have to go in and edit and create, you know, choose your pieces and then edit. You know, which you have a workflow, I'm sure, for that.
Mm.
It's very consistent. So, but that's still a huge accomplishment. You know, it's still huge. So, congratulations, man. So, tell me about that. Tell me about that show that just happened.
I am so excited to finally talk about it.
Let's go.
I'm so excited.
And number one, this is your first time talking about it here on Integrated
publicly.
OKC.
Like, I haven't even made the actual post. So, I could finally talk about it. I'm so happy.
Yes.
I'm so happy. So, this has been in the making. I'm trying to make it as succinct, but I'm going to let it flow.
Yeah, let it flow.
I'm going to let it flow.
That's what it's all about.
Where do I begin? So it's with Allied Arts. Have you heard of Allied Arts?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So for 8 months, since November of 2024, I've been holding in a secret I could finally put publicly.
I'm the first one that gets that now.
It was just announced on Tuesday, so I could finally do it. Like, the NDA is good, so we're good.
Right, okay.
We're good. We can actually
talk about it. You're not breaking
no contract. I'm not breaking no contract. We can actually talk about it. So it's really, really cool. Like, dude, so we were like, hey, we're not discussing it. They made no posts, no announcements, no nothing for 8 months. It was insane. And to kind of stop the little teasing a little bit, is that basically I will be their featured artist for the 2026 Step Up fundraising campaign that they do every year for the past 10 years.
Amazing.
Which is kind of insane because the marketing potential and the impact that I'm going to have in Oklahoma and possibly outside Oklahoma, period, is massive. So there is a possibility that I may have a maximum of 1,500 hands who's going to have my prints.
Yeah. Wow.
Including Oklahoma City Thunder, Chickasaw Choctaw Nation, Devon Energy, Oklahoma Natural Gas, OG&E, millionaires, people, just people of all walks of life. They just got to donate a certain amount of money to get one of my prints as part of the Allied Arts campaign. And yeah, and every year they raise up to $4 million.
That's amazing.
That opportunity, so.
So how many prints did you provide? How many images did you provide for this set?
One.
One print?
One.
Wow.
Yeah. And they just want copies of that to be given to the donors. And yeah. And how this opportunity arose was that I'm a member of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, OVAC. And I started in communication with them for this artist entrepreneur program that we had in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
10-week program. Loved it. We each got a grant. Even Tiffany was a part of that as well.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. And we talked about it a little bit
before. Yeah, yeah. Awesome experience. I learned a lot from that. And how they found me was that we had pitch night where we essentially pitched our business plan of who we were. And there was a representative from Allied Arts randomly there. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know I existed. None of that. All I did was give a pitch, a 4-minute pitch. A 4-minute pitch on my business. And I thought I was just done. Then Rebecca Kinslow, the executive director of OVAC, called me at work crying tears of like, Clarence, I am so happy for you. We have an amazing life-changing experience that's going to happen. I'm like, okay, I'm all ears. What's happening? Like, well, Allied Arts wants you in this partnership with them for the 2026 campaign. And there's a lot of marketing potential and even money and opportunities with this. And you're going to absolutely love it. So if you want to take it, let me know. Okay, cool. The CEO reached out, campaign manager, finance manager, director of development. Everyone and their mama reached out in an email chain. It's like, hey, Clarence, we saw your artwork in your pitch. We loved it. You're the perfect person to do this.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. And ever since November, we've been in almost communication every week. Text, email, phone calls, meetings. We're trying to make sure everything's settled with the contract, everything's settled with the supplier, the type of print, everything like that. And as of June 2nd, June 3rd of this week, finally happened. And it was announced. And yeah, I mean, if you have any questions, it's been phenomenal. So
yeah, man. I mean,
yeah.
I was just kind of listening to the story as it unfolded, you know, like, I mean, it's huge. It's a major, major situation. Like,
yeah.
I've been in like something called Studio Discovery Tour
yeah.
in California, and it kind of had a similar feeling when they're saying, "Oh yeah, you're gonna be in here, but we're also sending 15,000 brochures up and down the coast of California, down to LA, all the way through, you know, Northern California to Southern California." And I was like, "Wait a second, 15,000 people will go to their mailbox, look in it, and then see my artwork alongside these other artists, you know." But see, what exacerbates this effect for you is that it's just your artwork. You know, you're the feature artwork. It has your name, boom, doo-doo-doo. They don't have to surface or, like, share the attention with any other artists. It's like, boom. So like, you really get to capitalize and, you know, showcase what you're doing on a larger scale. So that's a massive, like, hit, you know. Yeah, congratulations. Thank you for sharing that here first, too. You know, like, your first time talking about it and sharing the secret personally. That's huge, man. Congratulations. So what was that like kind of going, you know, just going through all these? I'm sure you're still in communication with them.
Yeah.
Or are you guys kind of like, all right, we're good until it happens?
We're still finalizing. Like, I can still talk about it because it is announced now. I can talk about it freely. But the contract, we're still trying to figure out information with these suppliers and the cost of stuff and everything like that. Make sure everything gets in time for the campaign in January 2026.
Right.
And even prior to that for different events. But other than that, we're golden. We're good. I mean, yeah.
Is that so? One that's probably like the most exciting thing that's happened for you and your art in the last year, you'd say?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah. I mean, oh, and there's also more.
Okay. Yeah. No, well, we're in this part. We're in this section, bro. Add it. Throw it in. Throw it in the pot. Tell
I'm
us.
Also.
Let's talk about
making
it.
History with Allied Arts as well.
Hmm. How so?
One, I'm going to be the youngest at 20, well, then 24, now 25, but I was the youngest at 24 to be able to be given this honor and this opportunity, and I'm also the first Black artist to do this.
No way.
I am.
Wow, that's huge. People like, okay, way to, you know, break down some barriers even in 2025.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's still ground to be covered.
Yeah.
Especially in this political climate. So, you know, it's huge. What did your dad have to say about it? I know he was excited. You know, you said your dad's a Panther, basically.
He's excited, but he's like, I expected it.
No, I love it. Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I already knew, like, I already saw your greatness when I first saw you be born. Like, this doesn't surprise me. Like, okay, Dad, whatever. This is so nonchalant. Let's just say, but he is proud of me. I love it, though. He does actually say he's proud and he loves me and everything.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, I already saw these opportunities coming and more. It's just now you're able to not only achieve it, but also to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Which hits a bit different because now you're the one who's experiencing it. And what I love about the opportunity was like, they didn't choose me because of the identity. They chose me because of the value. And I think that's a lot more significant, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it should always be that way.
Like merit and value.
Because there are a lot of people who get in not based on their merit. You know, you hear a lot of mediocre people who have a lot of show time. And a lot of, you know, you see a lot of their artwork and they just have the audacity to go out and show it and communicate the value. You know, you think you're in a unique position because a lot of people who are deep thinkers and, you know, very introverted or like, you know, are really chewing up what they see, the information that they perceive, and really processing, analyzing it. And those people aren't always the loudest in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, you have a lot of really amazing talents and really amazing people who are overlooked because they don't go out and showcase and verbally speak on there and show what they have, showcase it. So it's awesome that you have both of those things. You know, you have the deep thinker, laid back, I can tell, and then but you also have the go-getter to go reach for those things. Cold call those companies, organizations.
I mean, at first it was very scary, right? I mean, but I don't have a choice. If I want what I want, I got to do what it takes to get it.
Absolutely.
I don't have a choice. So I'm like, do the thing. And once you gain more experience, you have a portfolio of personal and even professional evidence that you can achieve certain things. Your confidence increases, your experience increases, so you become a lot more comfortable. Like me doing this 2 years ago, no, absolutely not. So it took a lot of events and a lot of networking and cold calling, cold emailing to get this level of confidence. Even after this, like give me one more year, it's going to exceed what I have today.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have you on again for future episodes, you know, just... Because everyone learns and grows and changes over the years. People accomplish new things, you know. I mean, even if I spoke to you a year ago or 2 years, 10 years ago,
right.
As a beginner artist, I probably would have still had you on just because that's a story. To me, it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a pinpoint in time that can be looked on again in years and years coming into the future. I have some secret guests that will be coming up here that are very relevant to the area as well.
Cool.
You will see soon, but you know those things kind of come as they come, and or it's just part of the quilt of the timeline, and it's beautiful for that. So man, like you're seeing some success. Like what are you looking to do in the future now moving forward?
Like what's the time span?
Let's give it like maybe the next 5 years. You trying to change?
Shoot, that's a lot.
Maybe okay. Well, screw it. How about that next year? Whatever. What's okay. The next? What are your visions, bro? Okay. Like, tell your what are your vibes? What are your visions?
Well, right now I'm working on building. Oh, okay, you say go. Okay, cool. Well, right now I'm working on building my new website, and that has been quite the undertaking. It's been in the process of building since like January, February of this year.
Right.
We have a team outside of Oklahoma who's also coordinating and building it. They've done amazing. It's a lot of work, especially for what I want it to look like, my dream website.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money, a lot of work, a lot of time, but they're doing an exceptional job. I don't have an ETA when that's ready, but whenever that launches, is go. Just go, because I'm like, hey, I'm going to have a lot of products on there. As of now, we have around 130 images ready to be sold, which is a crazy amount of portfolio.
And they're categorized and everything in different ways.
Categorized, so titled, find. Narrative descriptions, identified and searched by color. I mean, everything. We already have a collaboration with the print lab outside of the United States as well, to fulfill everything for us with these, everything from like aluminum metal frame, wooden frame, acrylic, canvas, paper.
Print on demand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But luxury.
Yes.
Luxury.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you get what you pay for, but what you pay for will possibly outlive you. That's how good the quality is going to be.
Right. See, yeah. That's what you need. It's like archival. That's fine art versus mm-hmm. just, you know, whatever art. Because right. archival is, it's a price point.
That fine art paper with the cotton. Yeah. It actually is like, ooh, how much for paper? How much for metal? Oh,
okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But especially considering the market that we're going to tap into, that's not a problem.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
I'm not going to worry about it, no.
1,000%. You build it, they'll come, as they say, all yeah. right? I'm happy that you're, you know, getting this, like, you know, this business stuff in line, getting your website and everything handled, and, like, so website's next up on the list, like, what kind of impact have you seen your photography have?
Like, oh, wow. I have to think about that. That's a deep one. It's crazy. You know how, like, you have to smell the roses?
Yep, absolutely.
I have to think about it. So I'm going to have to get back to you with that. What I have to think about. I'm like, wait, what's the impact? I mean, I know, like, personal impact.
You can start there because sometimes you only see it physically and yeah. Sometimes you don't see how people respond to your artwork, but in Facebook messages or like, you know, comments or
right.
in blog posts or in videos or someone maybe speaks on it, you know, you might see it third party.
I mean, I've had a lot of different people within my network, peers and family, and just people who I don't even know be like, hey, I've seen your posts. I've been seeing your hard work. I am 32 years old. You have inspired me to start painting again. You have inspired me to pick up the camera again. You have really deeply impacted me with your artwork, your narratives, your descriptions, your work ethic, to where I'm like, I have a lot more hope for the future for myself. Your artwork has deeply resonated with me in such a way that now I have a deeper appreciation for the world and nature and just life itself.
Mm.
So stuff like that. Now, in terms of like the macro, like the big thing, I don't know. But the micro, in terms of those intimate interpersonal connections, absolutely. I mean, I've had people legit come up to me like, hey, just you being your authentic self has motivated me to speak in front of the camera.
Mm.
Just you being yourself and showcasing your artwork unapologetically with your authenticity has given me the strength to do what I want to do and to create the art that I want to create. And I've even had people be like, your story has given me the hope and the confidence to keep on going, if you know what I mean, right? So I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So that definitely motivates me a lot more to just keep it pushing and to just keep having that level of inspiration, motivation for other people in a positive way. So
that's got to make you feel really good to see that impact.
Yeah, it does.
What's that like, you know, when that energy comes full circle? Because, like, you put the artwork out, right? It's on the wall. You took the photo, you edited, you drummed up some energy, you manifested some energy, you got it printed, you put it on a frame, you put it on the wall. People see it. That energy is coming back to you through these conversations, through this impact. What, you know, what's that like when that energy comes full circle?
It's very, oh man, it's very hard to just articulate and to describe, because it's like, it's a very spiritual and a human thing, and extremely riveting and emotional, because I'm like, wait a minute. The man who I wanted to become 10 years ago, I am him. I'm him. Himothy, right? I'm him. So I'm like, and I'm becoming that man, that human, that person now. And I've learned that now, as I am now that person, I can now inspire others to become their highest form of self. Even through my artwork, I mean, because again, the good vibes, the energy are transferable.
Right.
It is transferable skills. Everything are transferable. So my thing is like, the positive impact is greater than you. And I love that.
Right. So, do you think you could see yourself teaching like one day, or like having like a workshop to just continue doing the photography and doing the galas? And
I'm not opposed to it right now. I'm not going to make an absolute claim of like, no, but I will say that as of now, I'm more so focused on the e-commerce right now and just the sales aspect, the networking, all of that. But I would not be opposed to just like, even just like nonprofit work or just teaching. I wouldn't be opposed to doing that. That'd be pretty cool in the meantime. But right now I'm so focused on like, let's get the ground running. Let's start making the sales, making this money so we can actually scale.
Right.
And then once I'm at that point where I'm like, okay, I can outsource, I can scale, I can do all these different things. Okay, have a lot more time to really get back to the community.
Right.
While the other things are in the works. So.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, because like I said, a lot of artists are doing like physical, like one commission, or they're doing like single murals, or they're doing certain things, but you know, and it's very difficult for the majority of artists to find a way to scale their work. You know, it's something maybe a little bit simpler for photographers, but still, like I said, it's a massive undertaking from what you're saying. You know, getting your website up, 130 images categorized by color, you know, not everybody's doing that and really making it how you can make it easy for your audience to support you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make it so difficult for them to find what you're doing or purchase what you've got, or, you know, contact you for opportunities. Cold calling is going to put you in somebody's face regardless of where they want it, you know. So these different things that you're doing have probably all led to your success. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, everything is a culmination of who I am today. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to my upbringing, even when it comes to just the work that I've done in the past 10 years or the past 2 years, 10 years of passion, 2 years of business. I mean, everything has a reason. So no matter the trials, the traumas, the tribulations, the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard times, the sleepless nights, it doesn't matter, because I don't have any regrets or a want to go back and change things, because I'm like, everything has a purpose as to why I'm the person who I am today. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm grateful for it. Let's keep it pushing. So
that's insane, man. Wow. It's huge. It's huge. Congratulations again. Congratulations. So, shoot, you know, are you thinking about staying here in Oklahoma City and staying and investing here in the city, or, you know, moving about? What's on the agenda, bro?
That'd be nice. I wouldn't be opposed to that. As of now, yes, staying in Oklahoma City. I mean, my family's here.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. And especially depending on where I want to be after law school. It may be Texas. It may be here. It'll just really all depend on what opportunities may await me once that happens. Even when it comes back to the art, I mean, a home is here. I would love to be able to invest into Oklahoma in the arts.
Same.
Because
I've got some
there's
visions.
A lot of potential here, but there's not enough funding.
There's funding.
There's funding, but
connecting to the right. There's absolutely funding here. Otherwise, Allied Arts couldn't do what they do.
So I would, you know what? Thank you for that. I wouldn't say funding. I would say perception.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What do you mean? Because this is something I also talk to, depending on the podcast, depending on the interview. Sometimes I do ask people like, "Hey, what do you want to see change about Oklahoma?" And so this is kind of like the same conversation.
Like people. I have so many friends who are excellent photographers who are just as good or better than many of these celebrity Met Gala portrait photographers.
Wow.
I do. And I'm like, wait, y'all just need the resources.
Right.
Y'all need the support.
Right.
I'm like, wait, and of course, there's a bit of accountability aspect of like, okay, how much work are you doing with the network and everything, right?
Absolutely.
But in terms of the culture, it's not like an Austin or Chicago or an LA, right? I mean, even though those are very edge case examples of the extreme of it all, but it's still an example and in a comparison nonetheless. Like, we don't have, at least to my knowledge, we don't really have that deep community in the arts like that. But I mean, I know friends and painters and muralists and photographers and videographers who will make a killing if they just cross the border into Texas or move to California.
Right.
They could do that. But
Well, there are a lot of artists in California, I will say and it just depends on, you know, what your thing is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
What your thing is. But at the same time, there's different spaces to operate in. Like, I've thought about not necessarily moving, but at least targeting these different cities, like targeting, like, Philly, Dallas, ATL, the DMV, DC area. You know, those are all areas where there's affluent black folks, who would connect with my artwork, or my painting, because it's all culture, music, anime, black folks, Latino folks, indigenous people. That's like, you know, my DNA makeup. So, but not always just trying to go like, let me target New York and California.
Right.
Like, there's more than that.
Right.
There's absolutely more than that.
Yeah, a lot more. Even not even the American context, but even global.
Right.
Right. Like, there's
globally.
There's more than 340 million people. There's 8 billion people that you could tap into.
Facts.
Like it's not just 700,000 and 1.4 million people in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Like, there's 8 billion people that you could tap into. There's a global market for the arts. Right. It just depends on that. Now, that's my vision, to go global in e-commerce, right? That's mine. Now, it just depends on whatever yours is, which is absolutely no shame. Absolutely no shame. It's just that whatever your vision is, there is a way that you can achieve that, so you can wake up from that dream, right?
Right.
You could dream all you want. You could put in the effort. But whenever you're ready to wake up and you're like, wow, I've actually finally done it, I feel good, there's a way for it.
Right.
You got to find a way.
I mean, what's fun is that you're always in the journey. You're always in process. So even once you hit the dream, by the time you get there, you will have changed in such a way that that's no longer the mountain that it was. By the time you get there, it'll be just another hill in the road.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, well, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
You know, what's the next thing after that? So, you know, it's really beautiful, like, living in that chain. Personally, you know, you can talk about this if you want to, but I feel like they need to bring it up. There's something really beautiful about that cycle of senescence, of like birth and death, of ideas and growth and journey and where you're headed in trajectory. Because there's the sun comes up and the sun goes down in every little portion of that journey. You know, there's small deaths and small growths and massive events that end, happen in a day, but take months to set up, you know, and so you're learning and growing through that process.
I mean, we could argue that the nature of the universe is inherently cyclical.
It's absolutely.
Right? I mean, orbits.
Spherical, even.
Spherical orbit, right? I mean, everything just comes around, goes around in some ways, shape, or form. There's that innate essence of, like, how that works, even when it comes to just life giving you second chances. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's always a way, and the second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth chance may manifest into something different, but it's still a chance. It's still a cycle. Mm-hmm. You still have another avenue to do something different that can lead to a similar outcome or the same outcome.
Right.
It's just a matter of the fact of you acknowledging and identifying it and executing it to make sure that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's huge. And people definitely miss out on that, like, idea, but what about the execution?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is a cool point to ask this question of you, because I was kind of thinking about it earlier. My conversation with Tiffany, we were talking about, you know, being an artist and the life of an artist, especially the business life. It's not always a linear path from this goal to that goal. You know, you may be along a path thinking it's going to take you X, Y, Z time, and then you get connected with the right people, and then it shifts you ahead of schedule 2 or 3 years, maybe. You know, in your trajectory, and just the non-linear the non-linear nature of being an artist. It's not like being in a 9-to-5 where you're looking at your 0.3% raise every year in a stepwise form. You know, and go, like you said, from nowhere, not having been known by anybody, to now you're about to have your artwork in the Allied Arts fundraising thing. So that's huge. That's huge. What do you think about just like the non-linear nature of what it is to be an artist and how that has played a role in your journey?
Once I began to come to terms that nothing in life is perfectly balanced, as all things should be, like, you know, at Thanos, right? Yeah. Once I've learned that nothing in life is perfect, I've become a lot more comfortable with the idea of chaos. So it's like, yeah, I mean, things can change, things can shift, tides can come and go, but as long as you're able to be persistent and continue to go and continue to go forward and adaptable, you could do basically anything you want in this life and be successful in different ways. Now, you may not win, you may win that battle or multiple battles, but you may not win the war on that day. You may be able to achieve a certain level of success that is a stepping stone towards a greater level of success, but you need many, many overnights to achieve overnight success. You need many, many nights to achieve an overnight success, right? It may take you 5 years of nights, 2 years of nights, 2 months, you never know. But that's something that I've learned, is that that adaptability and that persistence of just having that strong conviction of, like, I can do this. No one can stop me. And one thing that I began to really learn about myself is that my authenticity is my superpower.
Right.
Like, no one can take that away from me. And I've realized that I've achieved the largest amount, the greatest amount of return on investment in terms of personal, professional, relational, everything. You know, investment is an investment. Everything in life is an investment towards something, not just finances, right? Is that once I began to really tap into who I am and all sides of me and live authentically myself, oh, my level of success has skyrocketed in different ways, personal and professional. Internal, spiritual, emotional, everything. Relationships, everything. Like, so this is kind of bleeding into many different topics and conversations.
That's totally fine. I was about to ask you to elaborate, like, what were those things that you feel like you got into place? And then what was kind of like the last thing that you felt locked into place before your success?
Expound on that. I want to get more specific. Like my brain is going 1,000 miles per hour.
So, right. Yeah. So you said that, you know, you had to get things kind of in line, or is that what you were saying? Basically, that you kind of got some things in line, and once you got those things in line, then you saw your success skyrocket.
Kind of like how once I really began to tap into who I am and my identity,
right,
I was able to live with significantly less fear.
So are you saying you didn't have a level of authenticity and then you achieved that level of authenticity, or is that something that you had always that then you just refound and polished off that allow you to live with less fear? That's what I'm saying. What did you identify or connect with that released those chains from you as an artist?
I began to know that life is too short, don't hold back. Do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, life's too short. Do not hold back. If you got something to do, something to say to someone or to something, you better do it.
So that would be the first thing, and that led you to figuring out specifically, all right, well, what parts of me, you know, that, so trying to, basically, you made that commitment, and you made that conviction that, hey, whatever it is that I want to do, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yes. And so, whatever I said it. I said the thing, because that was the old me. I said, and now it's my new me. This is what I believe now, but that's what I said. That's what I did. I grew from it, whatever it is, good, bad, ugly. And once I began to really become a lot more comfortable with the idea of, like, growth and personal growth, it's like, well, we're always in a position of growth. Always in a position of growth and learning and teaching. All, like what we were talking about earlier off camera, like, no, we're always in a position of learning and growth. It's like, I've become a lot more comfortable with the idea of failure as well.
Yeah.
And I think that was also a catalyst to my radical development in the past couple years of my life. Was like, failure is okay. Failure is needed. Like, you're not going to score every goal. You're not going to get every sale. That's okay. But everything is a stepping stone towards greater levels of success, and you can't really learn as well in different ways compared to failure when it comes to success. So I know that was a bit, but
no, you're good. Like, the vibe of this podcast is very much stream of consciousness. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like, when you kind of get on a vibe, I'm going to let you keep going because, you know, it's facts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you went from this conviction to authenticity. So that conviction of, all right, whatever I want to do is what I'm going to do, led you to you had to be authentic with, all right, well, this is what I said, this is what I did. That was the old me. Now I'm kind of got these new convictions and, like, you know, I'm not going to allow XYZ to stop me from reaching those goals that you set. And so now you leaned into, after that, this process of being comfortable with growth and failure. And, you know, that's honestly really therapeutic for a lot of people to hear, is like, you know, part of growth is being able to own up to the things that you did in the past. You know, someone's like, oh, well, that's not what you said last year. Well, you're right. Yeah. I that's not what I said last year, 100%.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to be and move differently. And, you know, people, especially in our community, you know, this is interesting how much of a therapeutic force this podcast, I hope, will be, because these topics keep coming up. You know, these topics that are very fluent in general, but very much so in our community. You know, of the process of, like, well, I'm going to hold you to what you said last year. I'm going to hold you to what you said 10 years ago. I'm going to hold you to what you said 20 years ago. I was like, you know, people do grow. And then on the other side of that, people who don't know how to be accountable, you know, when that person does say that, how do they respond? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in our community, what do you think somebody's going to say? All right, well, what the hell with you? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and then it devolves versus, you know, hey, that's right. You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I did say that thing. I did move that way. It wasn't right. Now we're moving forward, which is a super powerful and simple motion to make. Simple, but it crashes through a lot of that stuff if you're dealing with the right people, you know.
And accountability plus introspection.
Mm. Woo. Yeah.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Accountability plus introspection. Then when you combine that with, like, strategic planning and execution, I can't wrap my fingers around like that.
Now I'll mix it in there.
There you go. So, like, it's so powerful.
Right.
Like, when it comes to the introspective component, being able to really have a very uncomfortable look on who you are, oh my goodness, and be like, well, my shit stank that time, but that's okay. That's okay. I got the Febreze, got the toilet paper, I flushed it, I'm good.
He's like, Lysol.
Thieves oil. Right. I learned from it, keep it pushing.
Right.
Don't dwell on your failures, do not dwell on the insecurities of it all. Like, hey, you did it, take accountability, learn from it. But just something to always tell my friends, like, yeah, you messed up, that's okay. I'm not going to remind you how you messed up, because you already know you messed up.
And people live with that. People do not forget their mistakes.
Yes. And I'm not going to, like, hammer it in like, oh, you're a failure or you did this. Like, no, you learn from it. Create a plan of action. Learn how to not do that again. Don't repeat the failure. Don't repeat the mess up. You know what I mean? So that's something that I've always taken into account, especially, like, I mean, I was in therapy for 8 years.
Wow. Like, from that explains a lot.
Yeah.
I've been in therapy for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Like, crazy. Like I became an old man from 16 to 24. I was like, hold on. Like, the level of insight and wisdom that I've acquired from therapy and actually being honest with myself and with my therapist, right, mm-hmm, and wanting to really work hard into growing myself, so then my future self can be proud of the efforts I've made in the present, right? So once I began to have that level of insight, I'm like, okay, what steps can I do today to make my future self be like, damn, I'm glad I did that.
Right.
Right, and having that level of accountability, introspection, planning, and execution, and more, right? You become a lot more well-rounded, a bit more comfortable in who you are and the conviction you have to achieve a higher level of self.
Right.
Right.
Man, that's huge. It's absolutely necessary, and it's a moral or a theme you don't see a whole lot, except in high achieving people or people just high achieving moral, high morals.
Yeah.
You just, and you don't always have that. It's like you weren't born immaculate. You know, nobody's immaculate on this planet.
Right.
Nobody's completely and totally pure. But all we can do is try to be the best that we can every single day and work towards being better and not make the same mistakes that we made yesterday so we can inch towards perfection that will never come.
It's funny because with that word, it's rarely, if not ever, in my vocabulary, perfection.
Right.
I've learned to say practice makes progress, mm-hmm. not practice makes perfection. I'm like, that can be very toxic for a lot of people, especially when they have a negative relationship with that term.
Right, or negative relationship with, like, outcome.
Outcome,
and
yes.
Negative relationship with, like, what's the word? Delayed gratification.
Yes. Like, take your time. Mm-hmm. It's not overnight. And another thing that I've learned is that I want to be proficient, not perfect. Because what I would think is a perfect photo, like, ugh. That was 5 years ago, like, ugh.
Hey, but you had to be there, right?
Yeah, I had to be there.
You had to be at that point to get to where you are now.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like that, you can't skip that step of, ugh.
Yeah.
You can't skip that step.
Yeah.
You have to go through that to then become the master of your craft that you are today.
Right.
Or any person at that point.
And the funny thing is about that word, I do believe that I am a master at doing macro photography. I do believe that. Because a mastery just means a high level of proficiency. It doesn't mean perfection.
Absolutely.
It just means you're really great at and excellent at what you do. And that's something that I'm a firm believer of. And especially growing up in a household where all these teachings that I've been talking about have been just hammered into my head since birth in a positive way. It's like my parents have always told me, like, you could do anything you want in this life. Do not play the victim card. You're good. Take accountability, take action, execute, and go. Be excellent, be great. Mm. And something that I've learned about myself, especially with my dad and us in our partnership, and him being that partner, that coach, that leader, and that great father, not a male parent.
Mm.
There's a difference in that.
There's a difference between it. Can you explain to it? It's like, just because this is a very, very, very interesting point.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a male parent and, like, the father that you have that, you know, had an impact in your life?
Yeah, so with my dad, with my father, he's present and active. He doesn't lack either of them. And I believe that a male parent, he's just birthed you and he's not doing anything or anything of significant value in such where, like, the child can really have, like, a very positive interaction and a lot of growth from that relationship. Because with my dad, I mean, I can tell him right now, you can keep this in the video, he's an asshole. He knows it. I'm an asshole too. Like, he raised one, like, we've, like, no, he's like, I want you to challenge me.
Yeah.
Like, no, you have your own mind, you have your own thoughts. That's rare for parents to say that.
Absolutely.
He's like, no, I want you.
Experience.
Right, any experience. Like, child, he's like, no, I want you to challenge me, because if you have that strong enough conviction about why you're right, and if I believe I'm right, we both got egos, it's funny. So we're like, but in, like, a healthier sense. And we're like, no, let's actually have this intense dialogue, and let's talk about it, let's grow from this, let's learn from it. And having that parental figure, and I have three parents, so I have biological mom, bonus mom, and my dad. So it's like, I have three phenomenal black excellent parents, right? So growing up with three parents have given me very unique perspectives and unique opportunities and growth when a lot of people barely have a father and they're grown up with their and raised by their mother,
right?
You know what I mean? Which it's unfortunate, especially, like, in our communities, which is in America period, like, having, like, I'm in a very rare, and I make this very clear with my parents, like, I'm so lucky to have three phenomenal parents.
Right.
Now, they ain't perfect. They're far from perfect.
Right.
But they're amazing, right? And, yeah, I mean, I'm just very grateful about that in terms of how I become the man who I am today.
So, what is that active presence look like? Like, what did that look like? You know, what, can you speak on that a little bit? Just specific moments with, you know, when there was an opportunity to teach you something or guide you somewhere, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You, like, tell me, like, that active role, like, say a moment came up where here's an opportunity to teach young Clarence III something. What did your dad do in those moments that's different than, you know, say someone who's just maybe financially present, you know, and make sure you're fed and clothed, but then doesn't teach you?
Okay, I have something really deep that a lot of, especially when it comes to, like, toxic masculinity.
Right.
In these spaces. My dad, in my now 25 years and 2 days of living, he has never once told me, stop crying and be a man.
Mm.
Never. He's like, you're a human. Cry. You're a human. You have emotions. However, when you're ready to make moves, get up and go. When you're ready to make some efforts, and all my parents are like that, but specifically when it comes to fathers, that's very rare. And for my dad to be like, I've never told you, grow up, be a man, stop crying, stop being whatever. Like, no, you are a human. You have emotions. But know whenever you're ready to just get up and go and make that action to change whatever's bothering you, then do it. Mm-hmm. But if you need to cry, cry. If you got depression, which he believes is true because it is, if you got all these different things and you're sad, whatever, that's fine. But that's okay.
Yeah, man. I mean, normally I wouldn't, like, go into, you know, things like this, but it seems like from what you said, it's been pretty prevalent and has a huge impact on how you move through the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm kind of getting into it, because I, you know, clearly it's had an effect on your work ethic and kind of how you perceive your work, your worth as well. And more so than anything, though, your direction.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like you have, like, you don't have a wishy-washy way of moving through the world. And do you think that had anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, even with my mothers, I mean, they are extremely hard workers. I remember way back in the day, my dad would tell me that my sister and my dad would actually have to, they were so down bad and so just not making enough money, that they would take the copper out of wires, split them to for food and Christmas presents.
Wow.
They would do that. And, like, my dad has even told me, like, he's had to, like, do some outrageous things to make money. Nothing illegal, but just, like, something that's, like, what, like, you did that?
Now, you are an insanely creative brother if you figured out how to make money that way. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm like, he, like, took the copper out of the wire to for food and presents for Christmas. I'm like, what?
But he made it happen.
Now my parents are doing extremely well off. I mean, my mom, she's multiple degrees, got bachelor's, master's, and doctorates. Dad, retired, bonus mom, doing phenomenally well. I mean, they're the epitome of Black excellence, at least in my life.
Mm.
Like, they make no excuses. Like, no, keep it pushing. Make shit shake.
We might have to have them on just for that perspective.
I'm like, is that going to create? Because I'm like, yeah, wait. I mean, yeah, because I'm like,
this podcast is for artists, musicians, and entrepreneurs, but right. It seems like key people seem to keep coming up. And so, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have somebody I'm going to interview very soon that has something a lot to do with that memorial right there.
Right.
And I'm only doing that because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd stayed in my old position, I probably wouldn't be interviewing that person. So, you know, so when things come, they come, and you either be open-minded and go and flow with it and allow it to be part of the quilt, or you say, no, it's not. That's not what I wanted. You know, and it's like, you can't go like that. But, you know, speaking of all this legacy, you know, and how it's a really beautiful thing to hear, like, where your pops and your moms and some, where they started, and your sister, what they were doing to make money and put presents and food on the table to, you know, what's occurring today. You know, I think that's reflective of the Black experience and kind of like the dream of, you know, our emancipated slave ancestors. I mean, I could say that for sure, because mine goes back. You can look on the slave record, slave narratives. Bert Luster, he was emancipated in 1865. You know, he came here when he was 13 years old, and so that's history that goes back in this land before statehood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, what were they looking at life? What were they imagining for their kids and would grandkids and descendants, and would it be what's happening right now? You know, in their mind, would they be blown away by what they see?
One thing that I like to always remember is that I am my ancestors' dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
They've got whipped, tortured, beaten. Everything in between and outside has happened to them, discriminated against, everything outside. So,
delete that. Oh, I'll edit it out.
Sorry, I appreciate it. Work alarm, my bad.
We got maybe like another 5-6 minutes.
Perfect. I got time, though. Sorry about that.
You're good. Like I said, I'll edit this out.
Okay, appreciate you. I did not expect that to happen. Sorry. I'll turn off my alarm real quick.
We're looking at Clarence in the movie theater like, God damn it, Clarence.
Oh, I didn't realize my alarm was going to
turn that shit off.
Okay. So let's rewind.
We already had people over here talking in the background.
Rewind. So I've learned to realize that I am my ancestor's dream, and they've had everything that is humanly possible to do to a human that's inhumane has happened to them.
Yeah.
And I am 100% sure that while they were getting whipped and beaten, they're like, I hope my future kids, my kids and kids will never have to endure this ever again.
Right.
And now we're here. Now we're living, now we're out here in a, you know, modern day city, and we're integrated with everyone. We're able to have the most powerful computers in our pockets. We're able to have 20 selections of food down the street if you wanted to.
Right.
We're able to have a college education. We have the ability to become millionaires and billionaires as long as we plan, work smart, and work hard. We could do anything and everything we want to do. And that's something that I strongly believe, is that I don't have an excuse to fail. Like, I don't believe that I'm like this. For me, I don't believe that I'm like this victim of the system. I'm like, yeah, sure, we ain't perfect in America, but not even close. However, I can still get mine.
Facts.
That ain't gonna stop. I can still get mine and then some.
And then some.
We're black skin. We're melanated, glistening skin.
Yes.
So that's
glistening.
Glistening, melanated skin. Like, hydrated with curly hair. I am good. Facts. Because I am a representation of the time that has already been passed.
Right. And it is so huge.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we fully imbibe that truth every single day. You know, we do fall into victimhood and self-victimization.
Yeah.
You know, we fall into waiting and looking for other people to create the opportunity that we full and will have the power to create for ourselves, you know. Nobody else is over here putting this equipment up, recording these conversations, finding the people, breaking into the topics that I, you know, feel will be impactful. You know, other people are doing that in the ways that they're doing it, but not in the way that one can do it. Not, you know, I can do it in the way that I can do it. You can do what you're doing in the way that you can do it. And the only people stopping us from fulfilling that impact to its fullest potential is us.
The greatest common denominator of everything in life is you. You're the greatest constant variable. It's you. You're the only one that you're the only variable that you can control. Everything else is outside of your control. You cannot force someone to apologize to you. You cannot force someone to do something for you. It's up to you to execute whatever you want to do, to have that agency, to have that autonomy, to have that individualism, to have that might and that conviction to just do the thing, make shit shake. Like, there are so many people in life who are just waiting for things to be placed on their lap in a silver platter. Like, no, you're not entitled to that. Like, no. I'm not I'm always a bit critical of the word deserve. I've earned.
Yeah.
I'm not entitled to basically anything. I always even tell my family, like, literally, y'all love me, but I'm not entitled to your money and care. I don't believe so. Even my parents are like, no, you're my child. Like, yeah, sure, but on a human level, I'm not entitled to really anything in life in that regard. You just so happen to want to bestow those provisions onto me, which is awesome. I want to keep that and that love onto me. But to say that I deserve a lot of things in life, I have a bit of difficulty with that word. But to say that I've earned it through hard work, empathy, care, good character, perseverability, hard work, planning, and then some, absolutely. But to say that I am entitled to a lot of different things that life brings me, I don't know about that.
Mm. And it says a lot about your character in terms of, like, you know, what is deserved, nah, what's earned, like, what did you create? And, you know, you have created a whole lot of amazing things, and I think that lines right up with our question that was left to you by the beautiful Tiffany McKnight. And her question for you is, you ready? What legacy do you want to leave with your art?
Of course.
Make sure you don't. You gotta look over here, man, so that mic can catch you.
I know.
Keep looking to the left, which is fine. Look to the left.
I know.
What legacy do you want to leave with your art? I'm not rushing you, bro. Okay. I'm chilling. Don't feel pressed because I'm just staring.
I know. Because I think about this often, and I'm like, where's the answer? I'm finding it. Hey. But I love it, though. I love it. It's phenomenal.
Give me a couple answers. You know, they don't have to be. This is not the final tell-all answer for the rest of your life.
With my art?
With your art, yeah.
There is, in relation to, like, macro photography as of now, there is a lot more beauty than what the naked eye can see. And I would hope that even with the micro, in the macro, with what I'm able to capture, it'll allow people to have a greater appreciation for the beauty of life.
Mm.
Right? Because we walk on grass all the time, yet you don't know what's in the grass.
Right. Wow.
Right? Like, we see a tree, but you don't really see the fibers and leaves and the veins and vascularity that truly does show how interconnected we are in the universe, right?
Right.
Like, veins, highways, river streams,
galactic interconnected cords.
Sure. We're all sound waves. We're all connected in some way, shape, or form in the universe. So there's a lot more significance in your existence than what you think you have. And like, another thing with my art is that I want people to also understand that hard work and planning and working smart truly does work. It just, you have to limit the amount of excuses you're trying to give yourself.
Right.
As close to zero as possible. Like, be fearless. Have fun. I mean, this not only goes to art, but it could transfer to all things. All types of wisdom and insight and philosophy. I mean, that's how it is. And, like, one last thing. I mean, have fun. Like, you can't really do many things without enjoyment.
Right.
Like, if you try to slave away at a job for 20 years, you're going to hate yourself. Even 2 years and 2 months, you're going to hate yourself, right?
Right.
So find whatever you can enjoy. And if you want to tap into this next point, whatever marketable skill you have, if you want to make money, go for it. I mean, there are plenty of artists. People think, oh, broke artists, starving artists. Well, there's a couple artists who are out there making 10 bands a month.
Minimum. 20,
minimum. There are artists out there, and there's different types of art. I mean, there are podcasters who are in their 20s making their first $1 million at 25.
Right.
Where they have content, especially now with social media.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have that many excuses but to not succeed in some way.
Absolutely. What I've heard, just to add to that last point, is, you know, people invest in what's already being built. People hop on. That's why they call it a bandwagon, because the bandwagon is built for you to hop on, you know. if you go to these people to say, hey, I'm doing this podcast or whatever, and we have this many episodes already completed, or, you know, however you package that cold emo, if you're looking for support or if you're looking for whatever, what I've learned over time is that you have to come with a with or without you energy. Like, hey, I have a podcast. We're creating and we're talking to artists and entrepreneurs and we're building this impact. You know, I'm not going to state it, you know, whether it's just to raise underserved voices or to educate artists and businesses about what it means to work with an artist, what are we thinking of, how do we feel about certain topics. You know, I want these things all to be touched on through this quilt of all these conversations. And, you know, I kind of lost my point there a little bit, but, you know, you're right. Everything that we have today can be built by hand and very easily with a little bit of hard work, a little bit of research, a little bit of figuring out how should you structure this and plan it. I guess that's what I was going to say.
And one last thing is this click, my intuition is telling me to say it.
Tell me.
Whatever advantage you have in life, you can create leverage off of it. I don't care if your identity, your class, your race, sexuality, your skill set, public speaking, no matter what it is, create leverage off that. You could benefit off every advantage you have in your life, even disadvantage. Guess what? Everything can be a blessing onto another person.
Right.
Everything in life that you have, the greatest gift that you can give to your life is you. The greatest gift you can give to the world is you. So don't rob the world of yourself because you're its greatest gift. Like, if you have something to show, then show it. If you have something to say, then say it. Because there have been countless people in our lives, even on social media, who do not know that we exist. They have significantly impacted us in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
As a residual effect or a direct effect right then and there. So my thing is like, if you got something to post, say it unapologetically. Live in your authenticity, because that is your superpower, because that is you. You are a masterclass at being yourself, so why be like other people?
No. That's an amazing point to end the podcast on. So you spoke on it yourself. Thank you for all your wisdom. I appreciate you for coming on, man, and sharing it, you know, such a young age. Like, having such perspective, it's a really great thing, and so I hope that continues to grow for you. Like you said, you know, we're doing the thing, and you're gonna write it on camera.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna have it written so I don't have to wait.
I love it.
Already had that ready to go.
Okay.
What is your question for the next guest?
Perfect. Love it. Love it.
While he's doing that, I'll just say thank you, everyone, for listening. This is your host, Wesley Luster, with Integrated OKC. If you want to support us, subscribe, hit the like, share the video, you know, share it with some artist collectives, some friends who would benefit from this information. Thank you. Or subscribe to the Patreon. I finally did a Patreon this week, so now that's active. So we can start getting some Patreons, people I can shout out names or whatever. Ooh, that's a great question. And you know what? That makes sense. Seems like based on our conversation, that's a good question that you would ask. So we're going to see what the next person has. This is going to be a really fun. It's going to be a really fun thing, dude. Again, thanks, Clarence. I appreciate you for being here. Great conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sir.